Let's take our Bibles and open up to the Gospel of John. John chapter 5. Here in chapter 5, we see that there are 8 examples of what I've called the divine unity. Just by that I mean that Jesus is God Himself in the flesh. That God the Father and God the Son are one, that they are equal. And so we've been looking at these examples in verses 17 through 20. Jesus said this, "But Jesus answered them, 'My Father worketh hitherto, and I work.' Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do, for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise.'" And so we see the Father and the Son are equal in the divine works that Jesus did. He's proving that he is, in fact, God. And the Jews should have recognized him. In verse 21, we see that Jesus declares himself again to be God when he says these words, John 5:21, "For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will." And so here Jesus declares that he is God because he is able to give life. And none other can give life other than God. In verse number 22, we saw Jesus declaring himself to be God because he renders judgment. He says in verse 22, "For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." And that just seems like the obvious thing for God to do, because it was the Son who was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so the fact remains, he understands the temptation that we face. And as he faced that same temptation, he was able to do so without any sin. And so he is a just and compassionate judge. I'd like to move into verse 23 tonight. And we see that Jesus is God because of the worship he receives. We see in several passages of Scripture that Jesus is worshiped. And there isn't a single time when he rebukes the one worshiping him. Look with me what it says in verse number 23. Now, he's not receiving worship here, but this is what he says in John 5:23, "That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him." And so Jesus is saying that it's the will of God, the will of the Father, that all men would honor the Son just as they honor the Father. They should honor the second person of the Trinity just as they honor the first person of the Trinity. If we turn a few chapters in the Gospel of John to chapter 13, we read this, where the disciples are commended for worshiping Jesus as God. In John chapter 13, verse number 13, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am." What a statement that Jesus is making. I think sometimes we miss the significance of his statement to them. He says that they call him Master and Lord. Those would be
At least the title Lord would be a designation for God the Father. And he says, you say well, you are truthful in doing so. You're doing the right thing by referring to me with that title. But it's those last four words that are significant and that we might often miss. He says, for so I am. Now, when Moses was at the burning bush and he had been told to go back into Egypt and to declare to the Jews that God had sent him to bring deliverance to them from their slavery to the Egyptians, and Moses said, they're not going to believe me. Who should I say sent me? And God used what name? I am that I am. And so here to the disciples in the upper room, the night of his crucifixion, he says, or the night before, but it's the same day on their time frame, for so I am. Declaring himself to be God, he received their worship. He received their worship. Now, it's interesting today that there are those that will worship, according to what it says in John 5:24, it's interesting that they will worship the Father and refuse to worship the Son. I'm talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. They call themselves the Jehovah's Witnesses because they are worshiping the Father. And that's a good thing to worship the Father, but they reject the Son as being a sinless God. What most people don't understand is that the Jehovah's Witnesses are modern-day Gnostics. Now, the Gnostics were a Christian cult back in the first century that elevated knowledge, and that gave them their name. Gnostics is a form of the Greek word knowledge, or gnosis. And they claim that Jesus couldn't have been God because God could not have any dealings with the material universe. Their basic doctrine was that anything you could see, touch, smell, feel, or perceive with any of the five senses, matter or any material, was evil just because it was material. And they said that God, who is perfectly holy, could not have anything to do with the material universe. Therefore, they say that God could not have created the heavens and the earth because that would corrupt his holiness. That's their teaching. They responded in two different ways. We're not going to get into that tonight. But what they claimed was that God created a God who is less God than him. And that second God then created a third God who was less holy than the second God. And on it went until they finally got to where they created Jesus, who then had enough unholiness about him that he could then create the material universe. That's the basis of Gnosticism. Well, that's essentially what the Jehovah's Witnesses teach today. They're just a modern-day Gnostic sect or cult. But what does God say here in his word? That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. And so there are many who fail to honor the Son today. There are some who say that there are other mediators between God and man. But the Bible tells us there are how many mediators? Just one. For there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 5. That's the Word of God. We don't have to go through another. We can go straight to the throne of grace, can't we? To receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. And so we're so grateful that Jesus receives worship because he is God. And so when we pray to our Lord Jesus Christ in His name, we're praying to Almighty God, who is omniscient and who is omnipotent and can hear and answer our prayers, who knows the longings of our hearts, the problems that we face, and how we feel in those situations, but then has the power to answer those prayers. He is God. There are those that would glorify the Holy Spirit rather than the Son. But again, it tells us that God would have all to honor the Son. There are also those, and there's many good, formerly good churches, churches that we would be very comfortable in worshiping, that were great missionary churches and sending missionaries and preachers out into the world, that today are no longer honoring the Son. They're honoring the lost person. I'm talking about the Seeker Sensitive movement that, what is it, it's nearly 20 years old, popularized by Rick Warren in his purpose-driven book, or the purpose-driven life, or the purpose-driven church. I don't know. He wrote a bunch of them, the purpose-driven this and that. But the focus in that philosophy is to elevate and worship the one out there who knows not the Lord. Now, I know the intention and the motive was good, to try to win them to Christ, but the method was unscriptural, and it will always be unscriptural because it ceased to elevate and honor the Son. God tells us that Jesus receives worship. And when Jesus talked to the disciples and told them that they worshiped Him, called Him Lord, He said, "Ye do well." When I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'd certainly like to hear those words, "Ye did well. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what we want to hear. If we elevate anything above the Son, the question remains, will we then hear those words? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now the question then has to become, well, how do we honor the Son? We have the word worship redefined in our society, and it has gotten hijacked to mean things that it doesn't mean in the Word of God. And so I'm going to list a few things here, six different things. All of them are worship, and as we do them, we honor the Son. And these are things I talk about all the time, and they're things that we all know we ought to do, and most of us do. And so, praise the Lord for that. But this is how we honor the Son. First of all, and again, this is worship, by obedience to His Word. Obedience to His Word is giving Him the authority that He deserves as our Creator and our Savior. And when we deny ourselves and we do what He asks us to do, that is worshiping Him and honoring Him. A second way that we honor the Son and also His worship is faithful attendance to the churches in the house of God. Faithful church attendance is how we worship God. We come together as in corporate worship. And there's just no substitute for it. None whatsoever. And as we do it, we worship God. Now, I didn't get my Sunday afternoon nap this afternoon, and so I'm kind of tired. And so if my eyes get droopy or I nod off while I'm trying to preach, someone just clap their hands or something and wake me back up. You know, I love going to church, but tonight it almost feels like my body's saying, maybe you should have gone home and gotten a little rest. Well, by denying the desires of my flesh, I'm honoring the Son by being where I need to be. And so faithful church attendance is a way in which we worship God, because there's so many other things we could be doing. We could have stayed home and watched the Tigers lose another game. Isn't that exciting? It was exciting today. They scored a lot of runs. And there's a lot of excitement about the Detroit Lions football team this year. From what I heard, the first time in history they sold out their season tickets before the season began. And so people are really excited. And later on this year, they'll have a football game that will overlap over the evening church. Now, if you're smart, you'll record it and you can watch it when you get home. But how many people will be tempted to stay home to watch the game? But we give up the fleshly tendencies in order to do what God commanded us to do and to be in our place. That's how we worship the Son rather than worship the flesh. A third way that we honor the Son and worship Him by doing so is just simply faith in His will for our lives. Now, those are easy words to say, but they're not always easy words to live. Just simply having faith that He's in control and He always does right. Sometimes He places us in difficult situations. And, the hardest thing I had to deal with in my life happened shortly after I got out of Bible college. And it was a real struggle, a real test of my faith. And it was very difficult to be grateful for that situation. Yeah, I got married, right? Yeah, I'm sleeping on the couch tonight, aren't I? But anyway, that's not it at all. That was one of the best things that happened in my life. But anyway, it was hard to be grateful for that situation early on. And it wasn't till several years later that I was able to praise God and I was able to look back and He gave me a little insight into why He had happened what happened. And so all I can do now is praise God. But at the time, it was difficult to have faith for God's will in my life. Did I feel like it was God's will at the time I was going through it? Probably not. But I can look back and with confidence and assurance, I can say that was God's will for my life. And that's all I ever wanted. Now, I just thought God's will was something else at the time. But I'm so glad that those circumstances were in my life. Now, what happened in your life that was difficult for you to go through, that you're convinced now that it was God's will? Or maybe you're going through something right now that you say, this is pretty hard to say this is God's will for my life. And it's pretty difficult to say I have complete faith in what's going on, complete faith in God. God will give you that trust, that faith, if you remain faithful to Him. And He'll maybe give you a little insight. He doesn't always, but sometimes He does give you a little insight into those circumstances. But in the midst of those circumstances, if we can find the faith to just trust Him during those times, it's worship. Just trusting God is how we honor the Son. A fourth way that we honor the Son with our lives and worship Him by doing so, just simply service done in His name. All the gospel tracts that were handed out in this week in our community, that's a way of worship. The Sunday school classes that were taught this morning, that's a way of worship. Yielding ourselves or offering ourselves as a living sacrifice to be used of God in any way. Even playing songs that we've never heard before on the instruments. And I've sang that song a lot of times, but I like to sing the bass part. And it was hard to sing it because the bass part is written differently in this book than what I'm used to. So anyway, I find that in a lot of the songs in this hymn book. But as we do these things for God and serve Him, and find our place. We've talked about spiritual gifts in the morning service. As we exercise those gifts for God, we're worshiping Him and we're honoring the name of Christ. A fifth way that we honor the Son and worship God is just simply prayer in His name. Now, we don't have faith in our prayer. We have faith in the God to whom we bow and offer that prayer. It's praying in just of itself, just praying, doesn't do anything. But when we realize that we're bowing before the throne of grace in the very holy of holies in heaven, where God sits enthroned on the universe, and we realize we're coming into His presence because He asks us to, even commands us to, as we do that, trusting that He will answer all prayers and that He will give us the wisdom we need and give us the grace we so often need in those situations, we honor Him and we worship Him as we do so. When we bow in prayer, we're essentially telling God, I cannot do anything about this situation. Or maybe I can do a little bit about this situation, but it's going to be useless unless you help out. When we have a physical need, certainly we go to the doctor and we seek His help. But we still take it before God because we realize that without God's help, our bodies will never heal, no matter how much medical skill our doctor may have. And so prayer in the name of Christ is a way that we honor the Son, and it's a way that we worship God. The last way that we honor the Son and thereby worship is one I've already mentioned under this Christian service. Well, it's just simply witnessing in the name of Christ. You see, there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. None other name. And so we're not going out in the name of Muhammad. We're not going out in the name of Buddha. We're not going out in the name of anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. It's His name we proclaim because He is the one who died for our sins. He is the one who was buried and 3 days rose from the dead. He is the one who ascended into heaven and even now is seated on the right hand of the Father. And He is the one that one day will return in power and in might. And so we go everywhere witnessing in His name. And thereby we honor the Son, realizing that He is the answer to all of man's problems. He is the solution to every situation we face. He is the only life preserver that will rescue us from the sea of sin and despair. And that He is the only one that can keep us from the fires of hell for all eternity, and that He will do so. And so we declare His name and we hold His name up before all the world as the Savior of mankind. As we do that, we worship Him and we honor His name. Now, there are those today that refuse to worship Him. But if we turn back to the book of Philippians, chapter 2, and this is one of those passages of Scripture that you all know, even if you don't know, you know it. Eventually, everyone will worship the Son. Eventually, everyone will honor the Son. Eventually, every knee will bow, as this passage tells us. We'll begin with verse number 9, where the Bible tells us, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him," talking about Jesus, "hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." And so it's inevitable. It's inevitable that at one point in time, every knee shall bow, even those that deny His existence, even those that say He was a charlatan, even those that say He's a fake, even those that say He's a figment of our imagination, their knees too will bow, and they too will proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus declared it to the disciples back here in John chapter 5 when he said these words in verse 23, that all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which has sent him. And so the question tonight is, has your life honored the Son? That your purpose, that your duty in life, have you done the things that magnify the name of Jesus? Or have you not done those things? The day will come when we will bow the knee. And so it behooves us to do it today and to do it tomorrow and to do it every day of our lives. Father, we're grateful that you sent your Son. We're grateful that we have the privilege to serve you, that we have the privilege to worship you. Father, I pray that you would stir our hearts to be ever faithful, to honor you with our lives. May our decisions always bring glory to the Son, which then will bring glory to the Father. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.